Welcome to the Church in the Peak podcast. We hope you enjoyed this message. For more information, visit churchinthepeak.org or come join us at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday.
So this morning, I want to just share with you something that's been on my heart for a while. And I think even right back at the beginning of the year, we were looking at what it was to strengthen ourselves in God and to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, as we're encouraged. And we've been doing some talks around that beginning of this year, and not knowing what was coming. And I think God has been using those times to prepare us for what the time we're in now. And I think that God's still doing that. And so this morning, I want to share with you something that I've just been looking through, some of the New Testament letters that Paul and Peter wrote. And they were written in very difficult circumstances, not just for Paul and for Peter, but for the churches as well. And how they spoke to the churches, how they strengthened the churches, how they encouraged them, how they, in that time, were to deal with things that weren't right and to put them right. And so I just want to come and look at some of those things this morning. So since we went into lockdown, this particularly has been one of the themes that we've looked at, that actually we want, while we're distant, actually there's something God's doing about bringing something together. And so I want to encourage us in that as well, that we would be strengthened this morning. So if you've got a Bible, and I hope you do have a Bible with you, I hope the Bible's just not gathering dust on the shelf. I hope you've got a Bible, and whether it's on your phone, whether it's on a tablet, or it's the physical Bible, and so I don't want them gathering dust. But I just want to encourage you, if you turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, we're just going to look at verse 6 and 7. So 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7. So be truly glad. Therefore, wonderful joy lies ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It has been tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. And I just want to look at that this morning in terms of, talks about Peter's there encouraging the people as he writes. And we know Peter is particularly working with Jews, seeing Jews coming to faith and working with them, churches in Jerusalem and around that area. And he wants to strengthen them. Actually, they go through difficult times because obviously they're following after Jesus now and not the Jewish traditions, not the Jewish law at all, and so they're encouraged to endure these trials. And actually, what Peter says here, and the bit I really want to focus on, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. And sometimes we only find out if our faith is true and is genuine and is real when it's tested. You don't find out any other way. So if everything's going wonderful and going really well and everything's just rosy in the world and you're having a great time and you're blessed and you've not got any fears, not any worries, not any particular concerns, everything's fine. Our faith can just be very mediocre. And our walk with God can be very much like that as well. We can almost like we're just, it's carefree. And sometimes trials come, and it tests, and it checks out, have what we got, is it really real? Does it really matter? Is it genuine? Have we got real faith? Do we really trust in God? And last week, as Neil was sharing about David and Goliath, there was a young man, and he knew his God. He had confidence that actually, not in himself, not in his ability, but he had confidence in God because he knew who God was, because he had personal relationship with God, spent time in the fields with God, and he knew that actually Goliath was nothing compared to God. And so I hope you were encouraged by that last week, that actually you can face a trial, you can face a giant with faith and see it defeated. And that's when you know that what you've got is genuine. That's when you know that actually you can look at something in the eye, as David could look at Goliath in the eye and face him and actually know that in confidence that he was going to be defeated. That's when your faith is genuine, not floundering, not running away in fear, as many did actually in the Philistine, from the Israelite armies, as they faced the Philistines, they ran. And another character that came to mind while I was looking at this, of course, is Job. And we see Job, and he's got everything. I mean, he's got everything he needs. And with Job, we find, says about him, and this is what, he was a wealthy man, he had lots going for him, and one day there's this council in heaven, and Satan turns up and says, and says, I've been roaming the earth and everything, and God says to him, have you considered my servant Job? He says, so if you reconsider Job, he had life pretty good. He was blessed, seven sons, three daughters. His livestock accounted for 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, so if they're just in twos, that's 1,000 at least, 500 female donkeys. Wealth, and his wealth and his riches were not compared to anybody else in the region. And suddenly, God says to Satan, well, you can test him, but you can't have his life. And suddenly he loses everything. And yet this man remains faithful. Even though his wife says you should curse God and die, he remains faithful because he knew this. What he got was genuine. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know what you've got is genuine? Your faith in Jesus Christ, the one you've put your faith in, the one that you've put your trust in, do you know it's genuine? Have you built on a good foundation? Have you built your life on good foundations? Because actually that's what it comes down to. Have we built on good foundation? What is it? So in the time of testing, in the time of trial, is your faith standing up? Is it genuine? Is it real? And I remember a friend of mine telling me once a number of years ago, and he had a heart attack and he thought he was going to die. And he thought, this was it. I'm going home. And even in that moment, it was, is this really going to happen? Is this real? Am I genuinely going? Am I going to meet Jesus now? And that sense of, actually, and he said it was in that moment, I knew what I got was real. And actually, that's what Peter is writing to the church here, saying, the testing of your faith proves what you have is genuine. So we need to build on good foundation. We need a good foundation in our life. We need to build well in our life that actually we know what we've got. You see, our Christian walk, our faith in Jesus Christ needs to be tended. We need to spend time on it. We need to spend time with God. We need to build it. We need to build into it. We need to strengthen it. And actually, it's in the trial where it gets more strength added. It's in those moments where we find out, yeah, it's genuine. And it forces us to turn to Jesus. And it forces us to cry out to God. And for us to receive fresh strength and encouragement from God. And Jesus taught on this himself. And probably the greatest preach that's ever been preached is Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus gathered crowds and he taught them. And he undid some of the stuff that was wrong in their foundations. He dealt with things that were wrong and he challenged society. He challenged the way they did things and the way they said things. And so many of those things get misquoted even today. So, you know, Jesus said to them, you know, you say an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say, forgive your brother. But actually, so often that gets used out of context and people say, well, Bible says an eye for an eye, so you can go and do it. You can get your own back. You can take your revenge. You can beat them up. But actually, that's not what Jesus said at all. And it gets taken out of context. And we need to be careful that we line ourselves up with the truth. And we don't take out of context what Jesus says. But Jesus concludes that great preach. I wish I could preach like Jesus. Wish I could teach like Jesus. But I'm not. I'm not able to do that. But if we go to Matthew chapter 7. verse 24 to 27. It says this: anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it is built on a bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain comes, the floods come, and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. So what is the foundation you're building on? Now, picture's going to come on your screen, and oh, it's already on the screen. I can see it now, yes. It's already there. And I'm building a new shed. I'm going to put a new shed in my garden, and I'm building a new foundation. Now, you can see there's stones I've been laying, or my father-in-law actually has been laying. He's laying out stones, and we're going to put a solid rock base down to put my new shed on. My old shed is rotten and needs to go, so I've got to put a new one. So I'm going to put it on a good foundation. Now, in that foundation, there's some stones that are not quite right. They don't quite fit. They're not the right size or shape. And actually, they're going to make the shed out of true when it's finished. So some of those stones have got to be replaced. And we've got to change them for something else that actually does fit and gives a good foundation. That when the shed's on it, it won't twist and crack, but will stand firm and secure. And when the winds and the rain come, it'll still be there. So we're working on that right now. And actually, we are being worked on by God. And we need to be those that know how, when necessary, to take things out of our foundations and put the right things in. We need to take out the wrong stone, the wrong thing that's going to make it out of kilter, out of shape. And there's things that we might think they're good, solid pieces of rock. They're good things in our foundation, but actually we need to take them out and put new stone in, new things in that build well, that mean what's built on that is going to be secure. So what might be some of the things that we can build our foundation with that isn't of God, that isn't right, that's not there? You see, we can center our foundations about things of life. We can look at the pleasures of life. And we don't have a problem with the pleasures of life. The good things, God gives us good things, it's when they become our foundation and not God. It's when we build something on them that then isn't secure, because once that's gone, the thing falls down. So we need to build well, and maybe there's things that we need to readjust to make it secure, to make our foundations secure in God. Maybe we've built everything around family. And again, it's not a wrong thing. Family's good. God created family. God said through Abraham, all the families on the earth will be blessed. It's a good thing, but actually if we make that our only thing and we build everything on family, and sometimes there's family fallouts, there's squabbles, and there's things that go wrong in families, and if we've built everything on that, things come crashing down. Maybe it is on our money, it's our security, it's our foundation. We've laid our nest egg, we've got it secure. We've got money in the bank, we've set this aside, we've done that, we've got our pension, we've got our life assurance, we've got all these things in place, and that's our security. But again, financial crash comes, or we lose our jobs, things happen, and it comes crashing down. What about our careers, or it's just some of the pleasures of life, shopping, eating out, drinking, whatever it might be. These things can be get into a foundation. They're things we're to enjoy, but they're not to be our foundation. Jesus is to be our foundation, the truth of his word. But even as a Christian, we can make other things our foundation, like coming to church. And we're not being able to do that right now, and maybe that's been difficult. I'm sure it's been difficult when we're not meeting together. But if our foundation is actually our going to church, our church attendance becomes the thing that we build on, and not actually God himself, then when that's gone, things start crashing down because we're not able to meet together. We're not able to attend in the same way we were. And it comes crashing down. And we're struggling. And we find it hard and we don't know what to do because we've built on attendance rather than on presence of God and our relationship with God. Or maybe it's wrapped up in our serving or in our ministry. And again, maybe we're not able to do those things that we've been doing right now. We're not able to serve, and that was our fulfillment. That's what met our needs. Our service or our ministry somehow fulfilled us. That was enough. And when that's gone, things start crashing down, because actually we've replaced our relationship, our foundation of building a relationship with Jesus, of spending time with him in the word, in worship, in prayer. We've replaced that by service. And we're just busy. We've been busy doing things and it's gone. And suddenly we struggle because we're not being able to do. And it's like, I need that ministry. And I'm not talking out of not experience these things, because I've been there and I know what that's like. And there are times when things that I was doing became more important than spending time and being with Jesus. And somehow God has to bring that back and line up again. That stone had to come out. It didn't fit right. It had to be replaced with something much firmer and stronger. And so I had to put in a new foundation in my life. So what might it be for you? When things get stripped away that have been our foundation, what that might that be that needs stripping away or has been stripped away and leave you feeling that vulnerability, even I talked about earlier, being secure in who we are, that we're a child of God. No matter what the circumstance, we're a child of God. No matter what's going on in life, we're his. And actually, whatever life can throw at us, our security, our firm foundation is Jesus, the rock of our salvation. And that's what it's called, is the rock of our salvation. Everything is on Jesus. He's carried it all for us at the cross. And we've celebrated that this morning in communion. He's carried it all at the cross for us. And actually, that's where we need to make our foundation. That's what we need to put in. I mean, you might think I'm over the top with building a stone base for a shed that's going to house my couple of bikes, a lawnmower, and a few garden tools. It does seem over the top, but let's not be over the top when it comes to Jesus. It's not over the top to make him your foundation, not over the top to make time for him, to worship, pray, and study the word of God, and allow the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the word, to penetrate our whole being, such that we live that out. And we live with a good foundation. You see, I believe this. God's about to do something. I don't think we're going through this, not just as our nation, but across the world. I don't think we're going through this and God not bring good out of it. God works all things together for good. God's about a good work. And he's going to bring something about from this. And in the meantime, while we're going through this, it's not a time to be idly by, licking our own wounds for what we've lost or what we can't do and the restrictions on us. Actually, it's a time to prepare ourselves for what God's going to do and the good he will bring out of this. I felt right at the start of it, and I hadn't particularly looked at any prophetic words that were around. There's been lots on Facebook, there's been lots going on YouTube, there's been lots of things out there, and I wasn't looking at any of that stuff, but in my spirit, as I was praying, I felt God say, I'm pressing the reset button. And God wants to reset some things, and he wants to reset priorities, and he wants to reset focus for the church, but also the world. That actually, if we're going to see revival come, some point there has to be a reset. We can't go on as we are. And I just felt God was doing something of that. And I'm in faith to believe through this, God's going to do something good. And we're going to see more people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to see the church rise up. There's, it's talked about in Scripture of this glorious church, a city on a hill that can be seen. I believe God's in the business. And I don't think it's just coincidence that it started in 2020, the start of a fresh decade almost. There's something happening that God wants to set a scene for what's going to happen in this next 10 years. And so I just want to encourage you to be in faith for what God's going to do. God is at work in this. And yet, the news we hear, things that are going on, the restrictions on us, even though they're beginning to lift slightly, it's not been good. It's not been easy. But remember this, God says, I work all things together for good. And he's working something for our good, for us as Church in the Pink, right across the world, the church. I was very privileged. I preached something on this. Very recently, I was asked to just share something with the leaders of the churches that I serve in India. And I kind of use this 1 Peter passage just to encourage them and strengthen them. And what a great privilege to be able to do that. And knowing that God's doing something. God's at work, strengthening. And some really helpful, positive feedback from the guys. They were strengthened. And I want you to be strengthened today. I want you to be encouraged today that actually through this trial, that your faith will be strengthened. That you know at the end of this, what you've got is genuine and true. So Jesus' parable about building on sand or on stone. I could have so easily put my shed just on the ground as it was. And actually, it probably would still be all right. In some respects, for a while, it'd be okay, it'd look good. It would stand there, it'd stay there for a while, but it wouldn't last the test. And it wouldn't be that long. That's why my previous shed hasn't lasted, because it's not been set on the right foundation and it's rotten. The floor is rotten. Putting it on the right foundation means the floor doesn't fall out of it. It's solid. It's protected. So I want to encourage us to be those that build well. Then if there's stones in your life, even things I've mentioned, things the Holy Spirit is prompting, even in your own mind now this morning, as I'm speaking, I want to encourage you, take that stone out. Take that out that isn't right, that isn't a good foundation, and put in a good foundation. Because the testing of your faith will prove what you've got is genuine or not. And God wants you to have genuine faith and genuine relationship with Him. So is your faith superficial or genuine? Is what you've got from God? Or is it from other things? Let's just take a moment. Let's just ponder those things before God. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us right now. Holy Spirit, we just invite you right now to come. And would you speak to our hearts? Lord, where there's things that won't stand the test, where things haven't stood the test. I pray you show us what those things are, that we might exchange them. Lord, I thank you that you are in the business of exchange. We don't come and buy from you, we come and exchange with you. And we give to you the rubbish and the stuff that doesn't stand up in testing, and we receive from you what does. We receive from you, Jesus, the rock of our salvation. We receive from you what is firm foundation for what you want to do, both in and through our individual lives and as corporately as a church, and what you're going to do through your global church. Lord, we say, would you come now and help us to make those exchanges with you, that from today, Lord, we might be certain of the foundation we're standing on. Today, Lord, for anyone who doesn't know Jesus, anyone listening in here who doesn't know you, God, I want to pray that whatever it is they've built their life on, whether it's their career, their family, whether it's their security, money, whether it's their a lifestyle of pleasures, Lord, I want to pray now that you'll speak to them by the Holy Spirit, Lord, and that they'll exchange that for the rock, Christ Jesus, and they'll come to you and build their life on you, Jesus. We thank you, God, for who you are. So just come right now, Holy Spirit, help us. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. I'm reminded of a song that we used to sing many years ago when I was young. Some of you will know it, some of you certainly won't know it. But the song goes, the words go, "For I'm building a people of power and I'm building a people of praise that will move through this land by my Spirit and glorify my precious name." And the chorus goes, "Build your church, Lord. Make it strong, Lord." And so I feel that this, we sang that, and perhaps it was decades ahead of where God really is working right now. And sometimes God does that. God speaks many years in advance. You know, Jesus came, the last time Jesus was prophesied about was probably 500 years before he turned up. But in God's time, that's half a day. If 1,000 years is like a day to God, that's just half a day. But I just want to encourage you that God is wanting to build his church, make it strong and make it powerful in these days. Let's be part of that. Let's give ourselves to that. Let's allow God to strengthen us, and let's go for all that God's got for us. God bless you.
Thank you, Phil. That was a great word. So we're going to conclude there, but let's just pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that you are building us into your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts where we need to have that encouragement to change things. So, Father, by your Spirit, come. Reach into people's homes. Speak to us, Lord. Encourage us through your word, through your Rhema word. But Father, we just pray that you will not let us stay the same as we are, Lord. Move us on in all that you are doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.